This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Welcome to the Investor Download, the podcast about the themes driving markets now and in the future. My name's David Brett, and on today's show, we look at what's more important, the US president or a COVID vaccine. We discuss the effect of Trump's refusal to concede the US election.
No, I think the market's really looking past any potential friction around the transition, but you know that could change in a single tweet, as we know.
The impact of the news on the COVID vaccines.
The market seems to be willing, at least in the near term, to look past further economic shutdowns as we go into the dark days of winter. There is, to your point, a light at the what has been a long, dark tunnel.
And why investors shouldn't get carried away just yet.
Kind of that short cycle trade has been the focus, frankly, of a lot of the Robinhood investors here in the US. As day trading has picked up dramatically. I'm always very cautious around that.
Hello, how are you? I hope you're all safe and well. It's been a little over 2 weeks since the US election and just over a week since the announcement of a potential vaccine for COVID-19. It's been a hell of a time towards the end of what has been a difficult year for most people. But we're almost there. And despite further setbacks, there does appear to be some light at the end of what feels like a very long, dark tunnel. Given the cavalcade of announcements over the past 2 weeks, both good and bad, we thought it would be a good time to check in on what's been happening in markets. So joining me today to discuss the fallout from the US election, the vaccine, and what investors might expect in the near future is Bob Kaner. Bob is head of US small and mid-cap equities at Schroders. Bob, first of all, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you. Everyone is healthy and safe. So
that's good to know. Where are you based at the moment?
I'm currently in the Schroders office in New York City.
Yeah, lovely. And how's things there?
Quiet. I think we're probably operating at about 25% capacity kind of overall for the office. But our team has about 3/4 of the people coming in, 3 to 4 days a week in a safe and socially distanced manner. So it's nice to be functioning somewhat back to normal.
Yeah. And Thanksgiving is on the horizon for you guys in the US. Have your plans been affected at all by COVID?
Our local leaders are discouraging group gatherings of greater than 10, which makes it very difficult to have anyone other than your own family there for Thanksgiving, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, well, hopefully people can get together in some form or another. So, we'll get on to the vaccine news a little bit later. But in the first part of the show, we're going to discuss the Biden effect on markets.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to the Investor Download.
So Joe Biden is the president-elect of the United States, although the outcome is still being contested by the Trump administration. Bob, can you just take us through briefly what's been going on in the market since Biden was announced as the president-elect?
Sure. It's really a continuation of the trends that we had seen, frankly, since the end of September, if we want to call what happened at the end of September a debate. But the first debate between Trump and Biden really did change the narrative of the market. Where it was increasingly likely that Joe Biden was going to be the next president. You've seen a continuation of that trend that's really been defined by a bit of a rising yield curve, a bit of a rotation out of secular growth into more cyclical type companies and smaller cap. And we've seen that continue really since election night. There was a brief period there, election night, where it looked like Trump was had a very high likelihood of winning the election. But you can see since then that it's really been a continuation of that cyclical value, small cap rotation, kind of pro-inflationary type of backdrop that hurts, I'll say, longer duration secular growth.
Has Trump's refusal to so far concede affected either the economy or markets?
No, I think the market's really looking past any potential friction around the transition, at least up until this point. We expect to see some executive orders, some that may be a little more harsh around trade with China in particular before Trump has to leave. But that hasn't been the focus on the markets. Ultimately, he's going to have to concede the claims that are made around election tampering. While there are lots of claims being made, there is yet to be any definitive evidence put forth. So until that happens, I think the market is fully expecting a transition in mid-January.
Okay, so the confidence of the market doesn't look like it's been affected too greatly so far.
Not yet, but you know that could change in a single tweet, as we know.
Okay, so Biden looks like he's going to win the election. It looks like 306 electoral votes to 232, but it looks like there might be a divided Congress. We'll know more in the new year. How will a divided Congress affect his policies?
Well, on the extreme end, it's critical. I mean, there's lots of talk around packing the Supreme Court, getting rid of the Electoral College, bringing Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico in as states, you know, really to shore up Democratic control in the U.S. That will not happen with a divided Congress. The runoff elections for the two Senate seats in Georgia are critical. If both of those go Democrat, then the vice president will be the dividing vote, and they can the Democrats could push through a much more aggressive policies that have longer term implications. The expectation, the way the market's behaving, is that that won't happen, that at least one of those Senate seats and runoff in Georgia will remain Republican and will be entering the new congressional session with a divided Congress.
Okay, so the presidency is important, but perhaps more important is an end to the pandemic, which has crippled the global economy over the last year. So in the next part of the show, we're going to talk about the vaccines and how they affect the market outlook.
Get in touch with us by email at schroederspodcasts@schroeders.com or visit our website, schroeders.com/investor download.
So it looks like now we have two effective vaccines, one from Pfizer and one from Moderna, although they still need approval from regulators. They also need to be successfully distributed, and no one knows how long immunization lasts either. So, Bob, what effect does the vaccine have on the outlook for markets?
It is tremendous when you think about the confidence around the reopening. I actually think it's less about how quickly, you know, the expectation isn't that these vaccines will be widely distributed in the first quarter, but if you can have that visibility on distribution into the second quarter and into the summer of next year, the market as a discounting mechanism is going to be willing to look forward. And you've really seen since the positive Pfizer announcement coupled with the Moderna announcement a week later, you've really seen a continuation and really an acceleration of this pro-cyclical reopening trade. The market seems to be willing, at least in the near term, to look past further economic shutdowns as we go into the dark days of winter. There is, to your point, a light at what has been a long, dark tunnel with the vaccine news that we've had over the last couple of weeks. And it's really given the market a lot more confidence in looking into that earnings recovery into 2021.
We've seen China successfully deal with the virus. Europe's not done so well with it. They're going, certain countries such as England have gone back into lockdown, and Germany, et cetera, or different stages of lockdown themselves. What risk does the virus pose at this current stage where we currently don't have a vaccine that's been approved by regulators to the recovery?
Further lockdowns are certainly a concern. In the US, they're done really at the local level. We don't have federally mandated lockdowns. But really, when we think about lockdowns, you know, the cross currents between the timing of the vaccine, the current impact of lockdowns, really have to look at it in the context of potential stimulus. And I think the more lockdown pressure is impacting negatively the economic data, especially what we see around the U.S. consumer, there's going to be more pressure for some sort of stimulus bridge before the next Congress. So I think that's really where the pressure is. To the extent you see more aggressive lockdowns in certain states, that are really impacting the consumer and small businesses, you're going to feel pressure. The Congress is going to feel pressure to act on a stimulus plan. And if they don't, you could see a minor pullback from this rotation that we've seen recently. But again, the vaccine is the news. It's just a question of a timing in terms of when we're going to cross that valley, not a question of if we're going to cross that valley.
And will Biden becoming president, let's say there's a little bit delay in the vaccines getting approval, will Biden being president affect anything to do with lockdowns?
No, I don't think that they're going to be able, the federal government's really going to be able to push lockdowns on the local and state economies. It's really done at the governor level. I don't think that you're going to see kind of federally mandated lockdowns in the U.S. I think that would be a really scary message to the U.S. citizens and something very different than what we are used to seeing.
Okay, so does it look like we can actually discount the W economic rebound scenario?
Yes, I think with the vaccines on the horizon, the market is certainly willing to look at the more cyclical companies that are going to see big earnings growth as we come out of the down cycle. And that's what we're seeing. And that's, I think, what you can continue to see. You may have a step back with increased cases and temporary lockdowns, but the focus for investors in the U.S. market needs to be beyond the next 3 months. You need to be looking the next 6 to 9 months as we see a broader reopening with the confidence of the vaccine being successfully distributed. And that's where the opportunity is for U.S. investors.
Okay, excellent. That takes us onto the final part of the show. So the president and the vaccines are the two main news items driving the markets, but what's been priced in and what's not. So in the final part of the show, we're going to discuss which areas of the market still look good value. So as we mentioned earlier, markets have moved prodigiously on the back of the news of a Biden win for the presidency and successful vaccine trials. So does that mean it's now time for investors to start looking beyond the traditional winners of the last few years? Or is it too early to tell at the moment, Bob?
I do. I think that there were many companies and industries that benefited from an acceleration of the adoption curve brought on by the economic shutdown due to the coronavirus. So I think that when we look out, you know, we think about the companies that have the opportunity to show significant earnings growth over the next 2 years. And in many cases, those are the companies that were impacted the most. You always have to distinguish between those companies that have had kind of cyclical challenges versus structural challenges. And there's certainly companies and industries that are going to be potentially forever disintermediated based on what's happened. But there are lots of companies and industries that really just experienced a deferral of demand. So when we look at industries where we think we can see an attractive recovery, it tends to be more in the industrial companies, some of the medical services companies. So think about a dentist appointment, right? That will never be satisfied with an online offering. It's something that you deferred through the shutdown, but eventually that demand will come back. So we're looking for a lot of kind of hospital procedures to increase, medical services to increase, and we expect to see a kind of broad industrial recovery in the U.S. as you have many companies that were able to take advantage of the fiscal and monetary stimulus programs that existed to really build a fortress around their balance sheets. And we expect to see that money be redeployed as we have greater confidence on a recovery. And we're going to see that happen through increased CapEx, whether it's through machine automation, reshoring of supply chains. That's where we expect to see the investment made. And that's really one of the areas that we think is poised to benefit the most as the economy reopens.
Yeah, we've seen, even in Europe, we've seen a bounce back of some of those cyclical stocks. We're talking about the retailers, the airlines, the banks. How far has that bounce back gone so far? And is it indiscriminate? So is it everyone bouncing back, or are there a few, like you say, where they offer something slightly different that have either got the chance to come back further or have bounced back further so far?
we look at it through the lens really of a short cycle versus a long cycle recovery. When you think of the short cycle recovery, kind of that's the immediate response that you'll see in airlines, in retailers, and more consumer-oriented businesses. When you think of the longer cycle recovery, these are companies, industrial companies that have backlogs, so a little bit longer timeframe in order to see the recovery. I think kind of that short cycle trade has been the focus, frankly, of a lot of the Robinhood investors here in the U.S. as day trading has picked up dramatically. I'm always very cautious around that. Airlines have certainly been a vehicle of choice to trade around. People tend to look at the price action in airlines and that they're still down 20 or 30% from where they were pre-COVID. But the reality is that all of those companies raised tremendous amounts of debt. So while their price may be down, their enterprise value, when you think about kind of how much debt they put on the balance sheet, often is where it was prior to the COVID shutdown. So I think you've got to peel the onion back a layer and really kind of understand how the financial construct of a business may have changed through this cycle. And so we tend to be kind of, I would say, more classic industrial than those short cycle industrial companies that you mentioned around consumer and airlines and et cetera.
And are we seeing any structural change in terms of investors switching to value and away from growth?
It's a little bit. I think it's hard to say that really it's about value versus growth. I think what's been more evident in the market is really around cyclicals versus secular growth that you're used to seeing in those big tech companies, the FANGs, if you will. So while value's shown modest outperformance over the past month or so, I think it's really been more about industry exposure than value versus growth. Banks have certainly seen tremendous performance over the last month or so, something they haven't shown for a long time. Kind of classic, more value companies, but again, banks are very cyclical. So I think it's more about a cyclical recovery than about a rotation into anything value.
Okay, just one final question. We've got the news of the vaccine and it could come early next year, by spring maybe. With so much money pumped into the economy, do you have any concerns over inflation?
Yes. I mean, I think that we've started to see inflation expectations creep back into the market modestly. I actually think many of Biden's policies tend to be a little bit more inflationary. We've had large amounts of money supply in the U.S. We've had very low velocity. If you think about many of Biden's policies are around increasing taxes incrementally to large corporations and really redistributing that to the lower income consumer. The lower income consumer tends to spend, that tends to increase velocity and be inflationary, as opposed to the wealth effect that we've seen in the market this year, where the high end consumer tends to save. And so you really don't see the inflationary impact of increasing velocity. So I do think that we're starting to see inflation pick back up. And interestingly, in the Fed funds curve, futures curve, you're already starting to see expectations for potentially higher rates in 2023. That's a long way from here, but it's the first time we've started to see a little blip from that perspective.
The transition to a new US president and how the COVID-19 vaccine plays out leave plenty for everyone to think about in the coming months. To that point, we've got some bumper shows coming up in the lead up to Christmas. We've got an episode devoted to the investment theme of healthcare, an in-depth look at Joe Biden's policies and how they might affect investors, a two-part program on China. And given the interest rates look set to remain low for longer, we'll consider how we'll fund retirement in the future. That's not to mention the usual end-of-year outlooks, which should be interesting given 2020's outlooks got torn up in a matter of weeks as COVID-19 ravaged the planet. You can keep up to date with the show by subscribing to us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please remember to rate and review us there. New shows are available every Thursday and every other Monday from 5 p.m. UK time. If you want to get in touch with us about anything in the show or have any ideas for future shows, contact us at schroderspodcast@schroders.com. You can read lots of articles on any of the topics discussed in the shows at schroders.com/insights or go to schroders.com/the investor download. But above all, keep safe and go well. Cheers.